This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Coors Light. Enter the Coors Light Ultimate Home Gate Giveaway, including a Yeti cooler, portable grill, pop-up tent, $200 gift card, and more. Go to the 98.5 The Sports Hub contest page to enter, and then crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Must be 21+. Rules and restrictions apply. Brought to you by Coors Light. Made for football. Made to chill.
B-Pod Studios.
Rodenizer Home Services has been crafting an elite team of technicians since 1928 who service thousands of happy customers. So join their team, become elite, and launch your career. Open positions from HVAC service and installations technicians to plumbing technicians, drivers, and office staff. Rodenizer Home Services offers aggressive pay, full benefit packages, including company match 401ks. Go to careers.rodenizer.com to learn what opportunities await with the winning team at Rodenizer Home Services and do it today.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Hi, Maz.
Hi, how are you?
I'm peachy. Thank you so much. It's a Wednesday, November 11th. Usually, it's Tuesdays that we talk to the following individual, but because of the Monday night game, we moved Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal back to Wednesday, and so we have, Maz, a Big Boy Wednesday.
Yep, we have a Wednesday edition of Big Boy Tuesday.
Greg, are you there?
I am here.
What's up, Greg? Else? How you doing, man?
What are you chuckling about?
Good.
Yeah, what are you chuckling about? I read your email this morning. Seems like you're kind of annoyed.
Yeah, he's fired up
with a bunch of things. Hey, like there's a
when am I not annoyed?
There's a couple of
especially
things
with you guys.
A couple of burrs under your saddle. Well, tell me what's the most thing that's bugging you right now, football wise, Patriots wise. What's bugging you?
Well, all right. The number one thing is the whole tanking stuff. Like, you know, somebody needs to strap down Jim Murray and beat some sense into him.
Strap him down and beat him about the face.
Yes, with a wet, moist sausage.
Moist sausage, there you go.
Yeah. That a boy, Greg.
To stay with the theme of the show. But look, I just don't understand. I don't understand the fans. I just don't understand how they can speak out of both sides of their mouths. Like, you can't, for 20 years, shove it down our throats about the Patriot way and the mentality. And this team shows mental toughness. And this team does this. And they do that. And then all of a sudden, the first year Tom Brady isn't here and things aren't going well. Well, let's just lose every game. Like, you can't build a football culture. Like, you can't build a winning culture in any sort of team sport. Just all of a sudden, like, what is Devin McCourty, Jason McCourty, David Andrews, Shaq Mason, Joe Tooney gonna say if you're putting guys out on the field who don't know what they're doing in practice, don't know what they're doing in games, just to get a better draft pick? Nobody is going to stand for that. You can't build a culture the way Bill did when he came in here in 2000 and said, you know, because Mike Reese wrote this great oral history this past weekend about the year 2000 with the Patriots and what Belichick did coming in, and then all of a sudden in the year 2020 say, yeah, you know what? No, none of that stuff matters. Like, you can't have it both ways. You're either all in on the Patriots or you're all out. You can't be both ways.
And you think there's just too many fans that have jumped ship and let's get the draft pick?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's sickening. I mean, like, you know, I don't know how they've watched this scene for 20 years. And I, you know, I got to give Tim McBone credit for, you know, this weekend. I thought he had one of the most smart tweets about, you know, looking internal and being real. And he's like, you know, watching the Patriots struggle against the Jets in this game, in the middle of it, he said, you know what? I think I've just realized I'm a spoiled millennial. I didn't really like football. I just liked winning. Like, sorry that it's hard now. A little bit hard for you to be a Patriots fan right now.
What a great way to put it. Ship. Okay, but listen, he's not expressing self-awareness. I mean, I guess he is, but he really feels that way. And that's what this market is, because I hate to break this to you. You're not a football town. You became a Patriot town because you were into the winning. But do you really love the football? You know, we're about to find out a little bit more, right, Greg? I mean, I think that's maybe what McCone's talking about. where are you?
I agree.
I mean, are you willing to go through the grind of every other football team and enjoy that thing? Or is it just winning? And really what it is then going on Twitter and blowing people. Because I feel like that's like that's like 80% of the experience. Just crying on Twitter about the team that loses. And if you don't have that, you just have the football, are you going to be as into it? Or just, you know, be into it at all?
Oh, it is so true, though. That's exactly how a millennial approaches it. If it's easy, I'll do it. That's the way they look at it. If it's easy, I'll do it.
If it's easy and I get to go on Twitter and dump on someone, then I'm in. But if it's a grind and a process and there's ups and downs and you actually have to invest in the thing, meh. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm no millennial. Ugh, to that. Give me the easy way. That's the American way.
This goes to show you how disconnected the millennials are. It's all in the chase. It's all in the chase. That's the rewarding part of the whole thing is you have to chase.
That's the best part.
It is. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Look at us that were Red Sox fans. I mean, you know, for years and how we just crawled and lived with that team. And I remember, like, my wife and I living in Florida when I was working at the Palm Beach Post, and like literally we would watch every game on DirecTV with the Red Sox before they won, you know, the World Series. And it was, you know, we were invested in the team and we wanted to see them go from, you know, nothing and overtake the Yankees and things like that. And, you know, I'll be honest, since all the World Series titles, including when I was there in Denver when they won that one, you know, you sort of tuned out, but it's the chase. It's the hard part that in the end makes it worth it. It's not just the winning and rubbing it in everybody's face. That's easy.
They just want to rub it in. Oh, you said that take didn't age well. Like we just destroyed the entire Barstool model. Like that's all you want to do. How about just watch the game and enjoy the process? Like, oh, it's just such a good point. McBone of all people.
Yeah, no, good. A little bonus gold star for McBone.
Like, that's all you want to do. Now it's just about building a football team.
Little extra lube for McBone.
And getting into the process. Can you handle it? Can you do it? Nah. You're going to move on to the next thing to bitch about on Twitter. Yeah, children. It's such a good point. What else is bugging you, Greg? How about the reactionary nature of football fans?
We've touched on it before, and I sort of screamed about it last week because, you know, Murray is like all giddy about what Brady and Tampa are doing, and I screamed at him, and I said, you know, it didn't just turn around in 2 weeks. They didn't go from Tom Brady wasn't a washed-up idiot against the Bears, and they weren't as great as they were against the Packers and whoever else they beat, and they're not as bad as 38-3. Like, you know, the wild swinging every week. Josh Allen's the greatest thing since sliced bread for 4 weeks. Then he sucks. Now, all of a sudden, he beats a bad Seattle defense, and he's great again. I mean, you know, can we just have a little bit of consistency? I understand. We have sports talk radio to do.
Thank you.
We have Twitter to get on. We have all that stuff. But, you know, there used to be a little responsibility in terms of, you know, let's not go overboard. Everything now, everyone overreacts to everything.
So that I don't mind.
No, me neither.
I mean, that you got to do. Like, there's one game a week. I mean, what are you going to do from Monday to Friday? You got to overreact and then.
Oh, yeah, jump over the edge.
No, so that I don't mind. Like, so that I'm not with you.
And then back off the take the next day.
So that I'm not with you. Let me ask you this on the tanking thing, Greg. Okay, so in terms of culture and the grind and the process, like, I'm with you 100%. How about the actual result of it? In other words, do you think there's an appreciable difference in the Patriots having the 6th pick or the 16th pick?
No, because you know what Bill's going to do. He's going to trade down.
Okay, let's say he didn't trade down.
Yeah, how about just in general?
I mean, let's just say
in the draft period.
If this were a normal team and the coach wasn't, you know, some contrarian, you know, at the draft and he just drafted at 6 or 16 wherever he landed.
But we're really talking as it pertains to quarterbacks,
correct?
Right?
Correct, Greg. So, as it relates to the franchise quarterback, do you think it really matters whether they're at 6 or 16?
No, I don't. I think you need to be at least top 5. To really sort of up your batting average in terms of what you're going to get at the quarterback position. I know you guys have been going over this, over the numbers and the names for about the past week, and I agree. I mean, I just think it's, I think it's very tough, and I still think that Belichick is in the camp where he's going to let the season play out. I don't think that Cam Newton has been ruled out as part of the future of this team.
Oh, wait a minute.
Ugh.
Start over again. I'm sorry.
Seriously.
Please say that again.
I do not think that Cameron Newton has been ruled out as part of the future of this team.
Why?
Well, that's unfortunate.
How to ruin a brand.
Right. How to ruin my day.
You just bum me out.
You ruined my month.
Because I think with a lot of things in the situations this year, I think it was a tough situation, and then what Cam went through during the season. Look, he was making progress. He regressed mightily to the point where basically the past 2 weeks they've had to basically give him a nursery school quarterback development program the past 2 weeks, and he's been making progress. We'll see if that continues this week, but there's not – what happens if they do close the season, say, 6-2, and Cam is given a few more controls to the offense and he does better? Say he runs a little bit more. Say he's a little bit more comfortable. Are you telling me right now that you're ruling out that Cam Newton could be the starting quarterback on opening day next year?
I would. I mean, I wouldn't want him back. I mean, and he's been, you know, I hope he does that thing you're talking about, that he goes on a little run here and, you know, this team contends in December. I want that more than anything. But I want a passer, Greg. I want a passer. I just do. And I know everyone has to move now. Like, everyone's got some form of mobility. So, like, I understand it, but I just want a little more sure of a passer. That's all.
Well, I agree with that. And I think that people now realize what we sort of talked about before the season. Like, people had, I remember we would get callers on this show, people talking about, like, well, why aren't they running the Lamar Jackson offense? Because Cam Newton doesn't run like Lamar Jackson. He's actually more of a pocket passer, and then he gets what he can. Yes, you have some power runs and things like that, but a lot of those, they're not comparable, the two players. And I will say that Cam's lack of mobility this season has been eye-opening, and it certainly affects what kind of quarterback he can be, because we've talked about it. Like, you need the Cam Newton that's a threat in the running game. They have to drop down in the box. That'll open up some more openings. If you had any talent at wide receiver, that would open some, or and tight end, then that would open some things up for the offense. I don't think that's the case anymore. And actually, I have numbers that back that up, that the teams now, in three of the past four games outside of San Francisco, which was, you know, the score got away from them. Three of the last four opponents, they blitzed the Patriots at least 32% of the time. It's been increasing. They are no longer afraid of Cam Newton, and they are coming after him, and that's a problem.
So, Greg, when you say that the lack of mobility, what do you mean? That he's slower? That he's not as elusive? What are you getting at there?
Yeah, I would say he's a little slower, and he doesn't move as well laterally as he used to. Now, granted, I will say he's not as good as a lot of people have in their mind in terms of his running. He did most of his damage in Carolina with sort of like these counter trays, these old school rushing concepts that they basically, instead of giving it to the running back, they gave it to Newton. You know, like the counter tray and the Packers power sweep. Those are more slow developing plays with blockers in front of you than just, you know, drop back to pass, quarterback run. He can do that. He's just not as effective as he used to be.
I mean, here's what I hope. Again, as someone who wants them to contend for the playoffs in the second half of the year, and I want them to, you know, go in there and show in Baltimore, I'm hoping they didn't run Newton last week because they don't want to put it on film because they're going to run him like crazy on Sunday night.
Maybe. Yep.
And that's, you know, I have two hopes, you know, on this. And that is, this craptastic defense with all these defensive backs and lack of linebackers. And the reason they built the team like that, or it's like this outside of injuries or COVID, there was actually a little, you know, trend towards this even before that, is that they have it there for these running quarterbacks, and they have it there for when they play Pat Mahomes or they play Lamar Jackson. They have all these guys on the schedule, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson, you name it. And they're all sort of different runners. I understand that. But that's why they've engineered their defense the way they've engineered it, and we'll see it this week like we saw it in Kansas City. That's one hope. And the other hope is that they run Newton's face off on Sunday night in Baltimore, and that they've lulled some opponents into thinking they're not going to run him because for the last month they really haven't run him, and they've been holding him in his back pocket. That's what I'm hoping. Is that silly?
No, it's certainly possible. I thought in the Buffalo game, I thought he was really clunky running the ball. I thought it was slower. It was a little bit more plotting. He had trouble, eluding tacklers, even though he did do that at times. It wasn't as fluid as we saw earlier in the season, and that game, it coupled with what their decisions not to really run him in this game, sort of made me think, you know, maybe there's an issue there. Maybe they don't want to expose him to too much.
Okay. So thoughts on last week, thoughts on this week. Greg's big takeaway from the game we haven't even gotten to yet, and I sort of share it. We'll get that and your calls. It's a Big Boy Wednesday on Felger and Mazz. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mazz. Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Golf is here, and there's no better place to get in on all the action in Augusta, Georgia this weekend than with DraftKings. To celebrate this weekend's major, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Enter code SPORTSHUB to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code SPORTSHUB, only at DraftKings.
$5 deposit required.
They've got your drive home covered.
That's just one question for the people.
Felger and Mazz.
There's so many questions for the people. My facilitation cup runneth over.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2x2 set play fake by Flacco. Slight roll right. Moves up. Oh. Lost one deep downfield for Perryman. Catches the 10 into the end zone. Got away from J.C. Jackson. And the Jets take the lead.
Oh.
Touchdown, New York.
Oh, what a move. What a move. It's a double move downfield. It's a double move, and Flacco just throws a dime on the move here.
Flacco takes the snap from the right hash, dropping back. Back foot throw, a lob to the end zone, and the pass is going to be caught by Crowder. Crowder got his left foot down, and then he dragged his touchdown. Right toes. That's a touchdown.
Review.
For New York.
It's a way to dot toe the
tap,
eye, kid.
Toe wow. drag.
What
left,
a catch.
Then right.
Left
touchdown
foot in.
New York.
Drags the right toe, secures the catch.
That's a great route. It's even a better throw.
Flacco takes the snap. A lob to Perryman wide open in the end zone right side. He catches for his second touchdown
my.
Of the night.
Oh, J.C. Jackson.
As a defensive back fell down, J.C. Jackson beaten by Breshad Perryman again for the second time this evening. And the Jets expand their lead.
Stephon Gilmore sitting at home watching this going, that's the guy you want to pay 15, 12 to 15 a year. Oh, my. Oh, he just what a move. What a move. Off the get-go, Jackson almost broke his ankles. I mean, it's man coverage. You're in bump and run. You know you don't have help behind you. How do you fall backwards?
Were those really great moves? Yeah, that's. I'll give you the second touchdown pass. The Flacco ball to Crowder in the left corner was a freaking dime. Beautiful ball.
Well-executed play.
Yeah, and the coverage was there. Like, okay, I'll grant you great play. Those other two? Woof. So that's, I know, Greg's biggest takeaway. Mine, you know, my biggest concern with the team was the run defense. Now the secondary springs a leak. What was going on there in New York, Greg, before we go to the phones?
Yeah, and certainly it all factors into each other that, you know, they're not good on first down. They have the league's worst second down defense. Teams are converting first downs on 40% of their second downs against the Patriots. And so it all factors in. But to me, the main issue with this defense is there's just their lack of pressure. And every one of these Jets big plays, if you go back and look at it, and often they brought an extra rusher, and they're not getting within 3 or 4 yards of Joe Flacco. I mean, the Patriots went in this game. They played Joe Flacco before. They know he's a complete statue in the pocket. Go attack him, force him to rush a little bit, make a mistake. They could never rush him. I mean, if you look at on the first drive of the game, there's a 2nd and 5. The Patriots go all out blitz and they end up getting, I think, Mims for about 26 yards. The cornerbacks are playing off coverage because the hope is, all right, we're bringing everyone. So someone is going to be free and Flacco is going to rush. We're going to have eyes on the quarterback and the receiver. And we're going to play through the ball. We're going to get a turnover. But Flacco is not rushed at all against an all out blitz. And he easily picks it up. Now the Patriots were having some issues with their cornerbacks against some of the Jets stacks and things like that. There were some communication problems that bothered me in this game. But largely, and this has been the case for me all year, They don't get any pressure up front. We certainly know even when they were good on defense the past couple of years, they don't have great individual rushers. It's more of a collective thing with the amoeba, and they don't get any movement on the defensive line. They don't have any speed coming off the edge or interior from the linebacker spot. It's just, it's a mess, and that trickles down to the secondary and makes it look even worse than it's been.
I mean, I know it's an elementary metric, but they're in the bottom five of the league of sacks. Right. So that doesn't factor in pressures and everything else, but they're not getting home.
I mean, so this ties into another. Don't they, or haven't they just drafted some young, faster players on defense? Wasn't that the idea? Their first three picks off the board this past draft, defense. Their two of their first three off the board the year before, defense, young defensive players. So what? How come I'm not seeing these guys on the field, Greg? And again, the five players I've just referenced are Uche, Duggar, Jennings from this past draft, and then Winovich and Jawan Williams. I know he's not a front seven guy, but the draft before, I don't see these guys when I watch him play.
No, and Winovich and Uche are pass rushers.
So what's up with this?
Bill just doesn't trust him. And, you know, I can tell you, Jennings was awful against the Broncos. And then when he did get in this game, there was a play where they were in Tampa 2 defense where he's supposed to be the Mike linebacker down the middle of the field, and he's went about four yards of the line of scrimmage when Flacco throws for about 35 yards. I mean, it's mental mistake after mental mistake. I don't know. I assume Uche's in the same department. Duggar, I have no idea why he's not playing, because the last time we really saw him in a major role, especially against a defense that now needs to blitz more and more just to have a chance of creating pressures. He was great blitzing against the Seahawks. I don't understand why he's not out there. My best guess is that it goes to Belichick wanting to, he favors veterans over anybody. So it's going to be Phillips, and, you know, but if he keeps playing Phillips the way that he is, he's going to get hurt anyway. So Duggar should get his chance, but who knows? They'll probably put Terrence Brooks out there, okay, knowing Belichick. But I mean, that's where they are.
So that to me is frustrating. You got to devote those spots at the draft. There's a huge need. It's kind of the season to do it, and they're not doing it. I know some of you have been, you know, Perillo's talked about this. I know you've talked about this. I'm sort of late to this party, but I've gotten there. Why not play some more speed on the field? You drafted for it. All right, to your calls here with Greg Bedard. Here's Nate in Hanover. Lead us off. Go ahead, Nate.
So my concern is kind of like, all right, I am an older version of a millennial, and I'm just trying to figure out, like, I'm watching the game. I am here. I love watching the Patriots. I've been doing it since the 90s, before Belichick, and I'm caught in between. Like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to not like, you know, what's going on with, like, the season? And I'm halfway between, because I know this team can get on a roll because of Belichick, but we also might get a good draft pick. And, like, it really all started in the 90s. Like, when we got Kraft, and I watched all of the 6-10 team of 1995,
Nate,
all the 2000 Nate, team, 5-11.
Okay, we don't need the history lesson. So, I mean, I guess what we're railing against is, you know, this ain't fantasy football. I mean, once you get past that first pick, it really doesn't matter where they just flip the order. And so what's the difference? And so if you're in the top five and there's one of those quarterbacks, they're fine, but you're not going to be in the top five. So what's the difference between, I mean, you just want the quick fix. That's what I think we're railing against, that quick fix of tanking.
Yeah, Nate, don't let them shame you. You're right. I'm right. They're wrong.
This ain't the NBA. It doesn't work that way. I mean, it just doesn't. If it's the NBA, there's a legit reason to tank, and, you know, like, that's a different sport. In this sport, if you don't have a chance to get John Elway or Peyton Manning or Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
Why did I forget his first name? It's like, there's really not much of a difference there. There's just not. It's not worth kicking away games in the interim. That's what we're sort of ranting about.
Yeah, so I just think it's, you know, one is the generation, and two is the era. And when I say the era, you are so freaking spoiled, you have no idea. You really don't have a clue.
I mean, the people that dump on 10-6, you win the division without going anywhere, that's a good year. There's nothing wrong with that. Winning a division and going to the playoffs, that's good. That's what you should strive for.
I mean, again, the standards are so far out of whack here, it isn't really even funny. And people are going to need to suffer for a while before they realize that.
And look, there's some teams where that's not good enough. Like, if I'm sitting there and I'm Aaron Rodgers, you know, and you consider yourself one of the greats of all time, Well, no, you have to win another one. And like, it's situational for different teams. But as you're in a rebuild, if your rebuild is contending for the playoffs, making the playoffs as you rebuild your team, that's not so bad. That's fine. And if you're not getting a Trevor Lawrence, it doesn't matter where you're drafting anyway. I don't know. Maybe that's what we're talking about. We've got.
And I also think, Mike, to what you're saying, like, you know, this team is at the point where, like, this is not a one quarterback, a one player fix. Like, they need multiple players to develop at multiple spots, and they're also going to need to be effective in free agency, you know, as well. I was just talking, doing my podcast earlier, like, say the best case scenario is next year you start Chase Winovich on the edge and Josh Uche on the other edge. I don't know what the ceilings are for those guys because Belichick looks for more well-rounded players. Like, do I think Chase Winovich is TJ Watt? No. Do I think Uche can be pretty good? Yeah. But, you know, even if Lawrence guy's back, you still need to sign some sort of good interior defensive guy, and you need Hightower back, and you need to add another linebacker. If you do that, are you appreciably better next year? I don't know. I think, you know, you still have wide receiver. You still have tight end you got to worry about. Like, this is not a one-year thing let's suck and be the number three overall pick, get a quarterback, and it's all over. That's not happening.
So, to me, it's a two-pronged thing. It's going to take a while to reset the roster. I appreciate that. Can you get competent quarterback play? In the meantime, if you get quarterback between Belichick, who I think is still good coaching, and competent quarterback play, you are looking at playoffs and division wins while you're resetting the roster. That, to me, is a nice little, just this year, even this horrible, atrocious team and roster that they've put out there. If they just got some competent quarterback play through that last month we just went through, they're not 3-5. They're 4-4 or 5-3 and on the way to the playoffs. And that to me is where they should be. And the fact that they're not, there's no excuse for that. That's what I rip them for. Three up, three down, coming your way with Bedard and Maz right after Murray's update.
So you're a business that's thriving. But then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Maz.
Sometimes, because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, Greg's got his clipboard out. We've reviewed the film, and we got the three studs, three duds from the Pats' win in New York on Monday night. Three up, three down is brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventative screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, please visit massgeneral.org. Who's your number one star, Greg?
Jacoby Myers. I mean, look, he was great in just about every respect outside of his interior run blocking a bit. That was a bit challenged and some of his penalties, which I thought he got jobbed on a little bit, but he did great. The Jets couldn't handle him. Will that continue against a really good man covers team like the Ravens? I doubt it, but let's see what the kid can do.
So I also picked Myers, and I can't speak for the run blocking, but a receiver's job is to get open and catch the ball. He got 14 targets, 12 catches, a buck 69.
So I'm glad.
That's good in anybody's league.
I said this yesterday. I'm glad he's come on. I've always felt he had a chance here. It was too bad that Brady didn't invest more in him, because I think he and Brady would have worked really well together, because he could see the field at least a little bit like Brady wants a receiver to see the field. At least he can recognize man versus zone and inside leverage versus outside leverage, and none of these other jamokes on this team seem to be able to do that. So I think if Brady had given more of a chance, those two would have had a nice thing going. And I do think that's interesting. If it's just press man coverage and it's not about reading a defense or that thing, he's probably going to be a different guy because he is limited physically. But at least the mental part of the game is there, which I do love. All right, second star.
Joe Tooney. A week ago, he had one of his worst games as a Patriot, as he was dealing with that that ankle injury that affected him in the game before. And then he came back in this game. I only have him allowing one hurry in the game, and that was it.
Cam Newton. I thought it was maybe his best game as a Patriot. The game in Seattle was obviously good, but this is a different kind of performance. And I thought, you know, he took a step in the right direction. Again, I don't love everything I see. Greg, I hate his throwing mechanics. He looks like, yes. Seriously, he looks like he's trying to, I said this yesterday, like he's flipping over a car every time he throws the ball down the field. Like the effort it takes for him to get the ball down the field. But anyway, that aside, he was good, and I give him credit for it.
Third star there, Greg. Yeah,
it's almost like it's a convulsion every time he throws the ball. I did not go with Newton, even though I thought I gave him basically a solid B in this game. I went with Damian Harris. I haven't seen the practice update. According to what Murray said, everybody was out there. I thought it looked like when he went down, that was a season-ending injury, perhaps like a broken rib or something like that. But if they had perfect attendance, I'm glad that he's out there because I think he gets better with every game, every carry. I thought he ran physical. You know, we've seen the big playability. Then he's adding trucking people in the secondary. I love his game. Burkhead was also great in this game. Burkhead, but I went with Damian Harris.
Burkhead, I thought, was terrific in this game.
He was. I had him there, and I scratched him off and put
some tough yards.
Tough.
You know, no huge, but like, you know, darting in and out, running people over 4, 5, 6, 7 yards. Like, those are big carries.
The last 2, 3 yards of all of his carries, he always, in this game, was grinding out 2 or 3 extra yards on every carry.
He's been their most consistent player all year, I think. And I'm not telling you he's a Pro Bowler or anything. I'm just telling you that every week he's been the same guy.
Third star.
Nick Folk. Boy, we don't talk about the kicker anymore.
No, we don't.
Isn't that a good thing?
Well, it's a good thing we drafted someone in the 5th round. That's great.
And, you know, game on the line. He made the kick 51 yards. Like, he had a good game.
Okay, Greg, 3 duds. Number 1 dud.
Jason McCourty. It just, look, the Patriots need to get more pressure and all that, but, you know, basically tackling a guy down the field and it'll look worse. That penalty will look worse on the coach's film. Missing tackles, off coverage, and reacting late. It wasn't good, and it's another one of these performances. And I know I've been basically saying this for 2 years, but you know, does he really need to be here? Like, we don't have a kid that can play there.
If I were Belichick, I'd make Devin McCourty pay his brother's salary. That's what I would do.
Maybe he did,
but I went basically. I think that's what happened. I went J.C. Jackson. I thought he was worse. Again, he was targeted. Now, look, he made an interception at the end of the game, but it was a lousy throw, terrible play call. And honestly, I thought he got picked on more than McCourty did. I thought Jackson was more disappointing. He's a number 2 corner. That's what he is.
Greg?
Ryan Izzo. I will say, look, Izzo had 3-plus run blocks in this game, but he also had 5 really bad blocks.
Yeah, so, no shot there.
Yeah, it's... He has a tough time. They can't sign a blocking tight end. I mean, what the hell? Like, you have to put Corey Cunningham out there, 6th offensive lineman. They can't find one guy who can block and catch. Like, put Kent or, you know, Rashad, what's his name there? Whatever his name is. Like, put him out there. At least somebody can block.
He's my new hero. We'll get to him later. Rashad Berry. My number 2 was Jason McCourty. We can leave it at that. We already talked about him.
Number 3, Greg.
Gunnar Olszewski.
He's useless.
He is useless.
look, I put him here, well, for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, the kickoffs are one thing and leaving his feet. And, you know, I don't know if he thinks he's Superman or what he's trying to do, hurdle people. But my big thing is this is not, and I'm trying to rationalize it, this is not the same guy that we saw in training camp. In training camp, he was fast. He was quick. He was a playmaker. It's almost like they got to the season, and now he's playing. He's playing not to make a mistake. He's playing tight. Not that I think he's any great shakes, you know, but he should be better than this. I don't understand why he's not.
I had him and Izzo tied for 3rd. Seriously, the 2 of them. Gunnar's brutal. He is brutal.
I don't know what he does.
And Izzo, half the time I look at him, he's like turning sideways. He's looking at a play that's happening behind. Like, half the time I watch Izzo, he's watching or he missed somebody. Really, maybe it's just me, and because I feel like I'm especially hard on him. But every time I look at him, it's like a guy blowing by him.
Okay, there's your three up, three down. I promise. Back to your phones with Bedard right after this.
This autumn, Rodenizer Home Services wants you to fall in love with your home. Get it? Whether it's your kids playing in a leaf pile, carving pumpkins, or watching the Pats game, family time at home has never been more important. So, let Rodenizer keep your family warm and comfortable by taking advantage of one of the many fall specials, including heating system checks as low as $69. Plus, Rodenizer offers indoor air quality solutions, outlets and lighting for home office setups, new water heater installations, even full kitchen and bathroom remodels. Celebrate fall comfortably. Call Rodenizer today or book online at Rodenheiser.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Man, I'm extremely proud of Jacoby, man. My germs. He's a person who I've known the longest this whole ordeal. Me knowing Jacoby when he was 16, 17 years old, coming out of high school. And both of us being from, you know, the greater Atlanta area, you know, for him to be morphing into the player that he is today, you know, it's just hard work paying off for him. Jacoby going to North Carolina State as a quarterback, I know, man, for him to be able to throw as far and as hard as he used to throw and for him to transfer to, you know, the receiver position, I knew he would have success because playing the quarterback position makes you intellectually sound, cerebral by default, because you know what a quarterback is looking for. And he's such an easy target to throw to, as you can kind of tell. And, you know, he just finds a way to get open. He got a knack for the ball, and his decisiveness while running routes is easy to, you know, kind of tell where his body language is going to go. But for him to have the performance that he had tonight, ongoing, you know, these last couple of weeks, he's just been, you know, it's just a show of hard work paying off, not only him, but, you know, Demir, and the whole, you know, the whole core group.
Cam Newton on Jacoby Myers at the receiver position. At least there's a little something going on there, a little. I like Myers as a depth piece. I like Bird as a depth piece. You want to tell me they have their number four and five receivers, number three and four receivers, something like that? Yeah. Okay. At least something. Tight end? Woof. Nothing. No light at the end of the tunnel. That's what Eric in Tewksbury wants to talk about. Go ahead, Eric.
Tight ends. I'm mystified in the lack of production. Greg, tell me, does Kirk Ferentz get on the phone with Bill Belichick and say, I got a tight end. He's fallen in the draft. He wasn't that productive. He runs a 4.5 40. Come and take a look. Doesn't Ferentz worship Bill Belichick?
So you're saying that's Kittle?
Yeah. Why wouldn't that happen?
Okay, Greg, your thoughts on the tight end situation here?
It's a great point, and you did think that with the connection that Bill has to Iowa, not only along with the father, Ferentz, but also Brian.
Kid plays here, yeah. Or no, it was a did he play or was he yeah. assistant coach?
They had an assistant coach, and then they also had the center, James,
right.
who was here. So I was just looking to see what draft that was in, just because, look.
4 years ago, I think.
Bill could get enamored by, where was it?
Okay, just go ahead.
I can't find it.
I'll find anyways, it.
Bill gets enamored sometimes. He gets off track. He gets distracted by defensive players a lot of times. You know, like this year going into the draft, the Patriots just, they knew they needed some impact pieces on offense. And what does Bill do? He trades out of the first and he takes a safety and two linebackers. Like, you know, and I understand they were replacing, they had to replace guys like Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy and things like that. But at least they had the pieces to function there. If they didn't, I mean, look, they don't have them right now. Those kids aren't playing. At least they have players that know what they're doing. Shalique Calhoun and James Simon and, you know, John Simon, all these guys. Not saying that they're good, but at least they could function. The Patriots cannot function on offense. They can't. They don't have a tight end. They don't have receivers. Like, it's just, it's horrible. And Bill, and I understand all coaches do this. Whatever side of the ball you have more comfort in, you sort of default to that. So Bill is comfortable on the defensive side, so he can identify those players. He feels more comfortable. I'm going to hit more on those guys. I understand. But when the team is screaming internally for tight ends and they know they don't have anything at the position going on now 2 years, like to wait until the third round and then trade up for guys that maybe you had ranked lower than some of the guys that already went in the draft, that's a big problem.
Like everything else the last couple of years or few years, he's late. He's late. I mean, again, look at this tight end draft. Who the hell knows? But last year, Hockenson, Fant, Irv Smith Jr. for the Vikings, who had 2 touchdowns over the weekend. The one before, Hurst, Gesicki, Dallas Goedert, Mark Andrews, all in the league. That's 7 guys in the last 2 drafts. He waits till this year when they tried to trade Gronk, 3 years ago?
He drafts 2 guys that can't get on the field. Meanwhile, what's their latest bright idea, Maz? I know you've wanted to hit on this.
So Rashad Berry, this kid at Ohio State, Greg, and I joke about it in part, but he's listed on their roster. He's on the practice squad as a defensive tackle or defensive end slash tight end. And Bill acknowledged in a presser the other day that they're starting to look at playing him at tight end some because of depth at the position. I'm starting to wonder, given all their issues, whether he should be playing on both sides. They suck against the run. They have no tight ends. Can this kid play? Do you know anything about him?
Yeah, I mean, he was actually a guy that you knew was a developmental project when we saw him in training camp. But I got to tell you, he was one of the kids that jump out to me saying like, all right, well, they need to find a spot on the 53 for this kid, because if this is what he's doing right now and he doesn't really know what he's doing at on the edge, then what's he capable of once he knows what he's doing? And so he really impressed me. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten on the field more. Again, you know, we're back to the, you know, Bill's not going to play any younger kids. It's like, you know, remember I wrote that article coming up to the draft, and you guys sort of poked fun at it. But I asked, you know, should Belichick punt on the draft this year? Meaning, how much are they really going to get out of it? Wouldn't you rather trade, you know, maybe take a few key pieces this year, but largely flip those picks for another draft when you don't have to deal with COVID and no training camp and all that stuff? And I didn't mean Bill to take it this far, like to like not well, play
I mean,
the draft
I mean wouldn't though. That wouldn't that say something if they target tight end, draft 2 in the third round this year, and the guy that ends up playing or doing anything is a converted defensive end on the practice squad?
And this kid went to Ohio State. It's not like he went to, you know, East Butt Twist U. You know, like
which again is just just east of West Butt Twist U. which is a tight end factory, from what I've heard. Here's a Darwin in Boston. Go ahead, Darwin.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about your point going back a little bit about loyalty as a fan. And honestly, it's borderline offensive the way you guys talked about it this summer and the way you just talked about it at the top of the show. I agree about the whole non-tanking thing, all right? You don't want to ruin the moral fiber of your team. That's important. Try and win games. It really doesn't affect the draft picks that much. But this idea, I'm 40 years old, so I'm no millennial. But I was there when I was 2-14 and Tommy Hodson and Hugh Millen and those awful teams, and finally working your way into Bledsoe in the Brady era. And that journey matters. I get that. But my favorite Super Bowl was that 10-year hiatus between the 04 and the 14, because there was that effort where Brady was still there and you're working to get back to that point of winning the big game.
So what's your point?
And those tough Broncos losses on the road.
What's
the
point?
This idea of the loyal millennial Patriot fan, to me, that would be just embracing Cam Newton if you're a pink hat. Oh, well, we have Cam Newton now. Let's just go blindly root for the Patriots like we did before Brady was gone. Brady was at least 1 or 1A with Belichick of what the 20 years meant. So when he's thrown out the door, Mike, as you've admitted, Belichick ushered him out.
Darwin, you got to get to the...
Do you expect a true fan, just to go with that? And just to say, oh, yeah, absolutely, this is great. Bring on Superman, bring on Cam Newton, and root for the team just as hard? To me, that would be a disloyal fan.
Why? You went too long, and you lost me in there. Can someone give me the strain of his point?
Yeah, he's saying that Brady was so important here that you have a right to be resentful of the organization for letting Brady go out the door.
No problem.
And so what I would tell you is that, first of all, the idea that they pushed Brady out is he left as much as they pushed him out.
No, but I'm all for, believe me, it's the fiber of the show, and being a fan is second-guessing the team and their decisions. I am all for that, 100%. But were you in it just to rub in wins on Twitter? Or you win it because you actually like the football in the process? Which did you like more? And what were you into more? And you just want the quick fix of, what, going into the lottery?
Yeah, you don't get it because it's fun. That stuff's fun. You're anti-fun.
I don't think 2-14 is fun. And I don't think drafting some kid quarterback who you have no idea about is fun. I think that's a high wire act that I want no part of. I don't think that's fun. And the whole thing was off of Tim McCone, his tweet over the weekend. As a spoiled millennial, I'm realizing that I don't actually like football. I just liked winning. And that, and I'm wondering about that. You put that well. I'm wondering about that with some of you folks.
This is stunning. We've reached the point in this program where McBone is Plato, for crying out. The great philosopher, Tim McBone. But he's right. He's right. Like, I give McBone credit. Look, the whole idea is, you know, you got to sort of grind through it to get to the good stuff. So now some of the good stuff's over, and the McBone, at least the McBone has the presence of mind to admit it. For crying out loud, the rest of them, oh, please. We all know millennials. If it's not handed to them, they don't want it.
Okay, but by the way, in the meantime, second guess all you want. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say, by the way, on the tight end thing in Kittle, that was the 2017 draft, which basically the Patriots did punt on. That was the Derek Rivers, Antonio Garcia, and instead of drafting George Kittle, who went at the top of the fifth, 146, the Patriots drafted Dietrich Wise at 131. So again, I mean, to me, that's another example of Bill staying with his comfort level, which is defense, instead of saying like, all right, I mean, cause remember by 2017, that's when they started writing off Gronk and they were ready to move on from him, or at least it was going in that direction. And, you know, for them, let alone the whole Hernandez thing, which they never replaced Hernandez once he went out. So it's just, it's another one of those things with personnel where they can't get the timing right, and Bill can't get his defensive blinders off.
I just feel like that draft was so bad.
I feel like a tight end, he has sucked for 20 years except for one. Like, he got one draft right, and the rest of it has blown. And even the free agents, like, I liked Fourier. You know, I thought he was a nice pass-catching compliment when he was here, you know, in the early 2000s. Other than that, I haven't liked his free agent signings. I hated Martellus Bennett, a loser. I mean, I haven't liked hardly any of their moves at tight end other than 1 year.
I mean, now that you mention it, really, like, I start to look at the skill positions in general. A lot of his running back picks have sucked.
I don't care about the running backs.
I think it goes beyond just the receivers haven't been good. The tight ends haven't been good.
Oh, I can list 10 times more receivers that I like than tight ends. I've only liked two or three of their tight ends, and one of them was a mass murderer. There's, you know, they've at least had, you know, several receivers that I can point to. The tight ends, there's been like one or two. So, my God. Anyway, back to your phones, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Golf is here, and there's no better place to get in on all the action in Augusta, Georgia this weekend than with DraftKings. To celebrate this weekend's major, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Enter code SPORTSHUB to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code SPORTSHUB, only at DraftKings.
$5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.